And welcome to Stop the Presses, your host Mark Anderson on this 28th day of April 2021, coming to you live. And we are continuing our video simulcast, as is often the case for this show. And that, of course, is at livestream.com/Ron Avery. And you go there and you'll see a Stop the Presses rectangular icon. You click on that. And you can actually watch and hear the show in real time with a slight delay, or you can pick up the show archived there later. And, of course, the audio-only show is archived naturally at republicbroadcasting.org. So we kind of got the oars in two waters. Ron, thanks for joining me, by the way, not only as engineer but co-commentator today. Much appreciated. At any rate, I've got some miscellany. Before we get into some meteor items, one thing I'm going to be doing today is tipping my hat to the late, great James P. Tucker Jr., Big Jim Tucker, who was my Bilderberg mentor. He died almost exactly 8 years ago today, April of 2013. And I'll be showing a few pictures of him for those that do the video part. I'll be showing some screen shares and some pictures and briefly sharing some memories of Jim. I did it on another show, actually, just today. The Rundown Live with Kriston Harris. He wanted to remember Jim Tucker, so we did it there too. I might as well do it in more than one venue. Jim was a great guy in so many ways. At any rate, one of the things that has come up recently, and in American Free Press hard copy and at AmericanFreePress.net, I suspect this will soon be posted, I wrote an article not only about the huge protests against the COVIDocracy in London on Saturday, April 24th, but they also erupted in Glasgow, Scotland, Dublin, Ireland, and the total number of people in what was a 2 or 3 mile long procession of protesters in London, the total number of people, according to Justin Walker there in the UK, I just talked to him this morning, the total number of people of all those protests this past weekend is thought to have been close to 500,000, if you count Ireland, Scotland, and England. But in so doing, in the AFP article, I picked up on the fact that Connecticut was having a protest of perhaps 1,000 or better people yesterday, where RFK Jr. of Children's Health Defense spoke, among other speakers, and they tried with all their might to defeat a bill that was in fact passed and is going to be signed by Governor Lamont in Connecticut, a bill, very sadly, that ends the religious exemption, let me rephrase that, ends the religious-based exemption for childhood vaccine refusal. So now if a parent wants to enroll their kid in school and they object to some or all of the vaccines, I'm pretty sure that's the way it works, they cannot object on religious grounds in the state of Connecticut, at least according to these statutes that these legislators think have so much power in them and can overturn basic principles or God-given liberties and God-given principles, something that they rarely, if ever, reflect on. And Ron, I can bring you into this as I cover this headline item. Here's the headline in the Hartford Courant, one of the nation's older papers. Governor Ned Lamont signs bill eliminating Connecticut's religious exemption for mandatory school vaccinations. Even in the headline, in my opinion, There's sort of a misnomer there. The idea that a statute can eliminate a religious exemption, because a religious exemption is based on more than just the opinions of human beings. Rather, a bill, a statute is based on more than just, or let me get that right. A religious exemption is based on more than a bill. A bill is based on human beings' opinions. A religious exemption stems from certain understandings of, based on God-given rights, based on God-given principles, certain understandings of the relations between man and his creator and human beings, their relations with one another. And if you bring a creator into it, which our secularized society is basically refusing to do, refusing to look at our world and our principles and our liberties as being a God-given, God-created thing. When you take God out of the picture and you only have the opinions of human beings, then, yeah, you can say a bill eliminates a religious exemption. But in fact, the bill is just trying to prevent a pre-existing, eternal principle from having any weight or gravity. And it's a really sad situation. The vote was, I believe, 20-14 in the Connecticut State Senate. The House had already passed it the week before. There was more than 10 hours of debate with each of the House and Senate versions, or the House and Senate hearings. But it's interesting, Ron. I thought I might get your comment here, because I want to find where this one comment was. I'm reading from the article actually on my phone. I'm not putting this one on the screen right now. But it shows that the vaccine regime, and not just with COVID, but vaccines in general, childhood vaccinations, which no doubt are going to include COVID vaccines, that they see their hegemony as absolute, and they don't recognize any eternal principles. What are your thoughts, Ron?
Well, I think also what they're doing there is the bill, the new law, shows no understanding of the fundamental principles of lawful government to start with. Because all of this is a voluntary type thing of how you take medical treatments for yourself. It goes to government cannot have more authority than each person has, each individual. And even though individuals have a right to take a vaccine if they want to, they feel scared. And let's face it, too, that they also don't know what a vaccine is, or apparently they don't see the strength and importance of a vaccine. If a vaccine is any good, it protects those who take it. And therefore, they shouldn't care about who doesn't take it, because right, they're still protected. Now, if they're not protected, unless everybody takes one, then they're no good at all for anybody, and nobody should take them. Now, that's just related to the vaccine. Now let's get into the law. The law is that all these states are based on the authority in the people. Now, you have a right to take a vaccine, but you don't have authority to tell your neighbor across the street to take a vaccine. So they can't delegate that to the state. So Connecticut does not have authority, because it's not in the people. The state of Connecticut has no authority to tell everybody that's going to go to school that they must have any vaccine, much less the COVID-19 vaccine. So it shows not only a misunderstanding of theology and irreverence for that kind of thing, it also shows they don't understand the very basis of their own government, which, by the way, sprang out of Christianity and Christian principles related to what mankind is and who God is and what God has done to the world and to all people. And that's where our government sprang. We're all kings and queens with equal rights. And other states can't tell us that we must do things that we don't want, that we don't have authority to do ourselves.
Yeah, very well put, Ron. Exactly. It's irreverence for our Creator, irreverence for creation. And then, as you say, that dovetails into a complete misguided application of statutes, you know, as if a statute can cancel the principle behind a religious exemption. A religious exemption is that you recognize that under God, external of government, you have certain immunities when it comes to people in power, and that they are God-given rights, God-given liberties, God-given immunities, where you have, if you will, kind of a sanctuary from the power of the state under God. And so the religious exemption still exists. See, that's it. The bill didn't cancel anything. This is just a power play where the secular state, the irreverent secular state that takes more power than the people give it, as you say, is just trying to dominate the vestige of Christianity that's left in our system. They're just trying to be the hegemon, assert their hegemony. It didn't eliminate anything. That religious exemption still exists in principle. And you'll notice what one of the legislators said. I finally found it here. Senator Martin Looney, what an appropriate name, right? L-O-O-N-E-Y. Can't beat that. He's a proponent of this bill to eliminate the religious exemption for childhood vaccines in Connecticut. He called the bill a very modest and highly incremental response to a potential public health crisis. And get what he says here. However, it is important that we establish the principle that the only exceptions to school vaccinations should be medical ones. This is a medical question. It is a public health question. It is not legitimately any other kind of question. You'll notice what he's basically saying there is Christianity and religion have no place in this. He's saying the principle that the only exceptions to the school vaccinations is our medical exceptions and public health questions. He wants to basically eliminate Christian beliefs and religion in general as a reason to say no to the vaccine. And that's not the principle at all. There's no principle that school vaccination exceptions should only be medical. That's not a principle. That's his secular opinion and nothing more that has no basis in principle whatsoever.
Yeah, it also shows that the COVID-19 vaccination, so to speak, unquote, is an attack on the image of God himself in mankind. It's an attack on the idea that man is created in the image of God. And you shouldn't be tampering with that image, either the visual image or the biological image. And this is a direct attack on the very most fundamental principles of Christianity.
Right, and Looney, in his own way, by omitting Christianity in what he thinks are principles, medical, public health, he's tacitly saying, without quite saying it explicitly, that Christianity just doesn't even play a part in this. It's not even a part of the equation.
Well, and that is because he doesn't understand what Christianity is. It's a very obvious statement that he is not a Christian. He is just another barbarian that's been elected to office.
Exactly. Well put, well said. At any rate, I will now move on in this first segment. I got a few minutes, but I'm going to get started on this. In the second half, for those listening live and on the archive, you're going to want to stay tuned. We're going to get into, mainly in the second half, I might get impatient and get into it before that. We're going to get into the Georgia Guidestones and so a very in-depth look at what they are, a continuing investigation into where they came from, and ultimately what should become of these stones that stand in Elbert County, Georgia. Excuse me. At any rate, I'm going to do a little segue, though, to remember Jim Tucker, and we're gonna go surfing around a little bit. And we're going to look at a few pictures. There's good old Jim Tucker doing the share screen for the video component today at livestream.com/Ron Avery of today's show. You can also go livestream.com/Ron Avery/stop the presses if you want to save a step. But the late, great Jim Tucker, my Bilderberg reporting mentor, passed away, as I noted earlier in the show, 8 years ago this month. There's Jim. That's apparently in Chantilly, Virginia. That, I think, is an artist makeup.
That's a great thing.
He liked to enjoy a cigarette or cigar now and then. And he would always wear his beat-up, chewed-up tourist hat with his characteristic suspenders, clean shirt, clean tie, khaki pants or dress pants, always well-dressed. And this here is a picture that I believe I took, if memory serves, at a sports bar at the hotel he was staying at during the Chantilly, Virginia Bilderberg meeting in 2012. That was the last meeting he actually covered. He passed away just a little bit less than a year later. And here are several other pictures of Big Jim. Oh, there's so many I could go with. That's without his hat. It was rare to see him without his characteristic hat. And some of these are mixed in pictures of other people. And, oh, let me see. We can go through this. There are more. There's Jim with Alex Jones. Looks to be at Chantilly, Virginia, 2012. And others. Jim was a great guy. He came out of mainstream press like I did and graduated to the, you might say, conspiracy press, in lack of a better description.
Big leagues. He graduated to the big leagues.
Graduated to the big leagues. There's a picture of Jim with his chewed up hat, another one. He had more than one, and his characteristic suspenders. And he wrote a book that came out in, I think, 04, 05, Jim Tucker's Bilderberg Diary, a very entertaining book as well as informative of Bilderberg. Of course, that's that secret network of the elite, big tech, big money, former and current legislators, former and current bank chairman, you name it, certain royalty, particularly Dutch royalty, NATO brass, and others, bought and paid for media that show up to take part and collaborate with Bilderberg but not report on it, and they have to pledge to do that. So Jim cataloged his many years covering Bilderberg from 1975 to 2005 in this book, Jim Tucker's Bilderberg Diary, which you can still order, I might note, from American Free Press at AmericanFreePress.net or call 202-544-5977, 202-544-5977, or 888-699-NEWS, 888-699-NEWS, Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., or better yet, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Eastern Time are the best times to call. You can check it out, but the best place to go is online, AmericanFreePress.net, to get a copy of that entertaining and informative book. I know that he did a lot going to the National Press Club, Ron, when he couldn't go to Bilderberg meetings, which, of course, it's hard to see Bilderbergers face-to-face. He would go to the National Press Club in D.C., and he met Margaret Thatcher there, I believe it was, and Dick Cheney, if memory serves, and he confronted a number of them because Jim was a National Press Club member, and that was a watering hole that they couldn't keep him out of legally, and he would go there and ask lots of questions about Bilderberg. I believe Kissinger was another that he questioned, and he said that he would get quite a bit of answers from them because they weren't around their Bilderberg colleagues. They were in a different venue. So they were a little bit more open and not quite so standoffish than if he had seen them at Bilderberg or near Bilderberg itself. So that's just a little memorial of the late, great Jim Tucker, who trained me to cover Bilderberg starting in 2010 in Spain. And I've been doing it ever since. So this is a salute, therefore, to James B. Tucker, Jr.
Very good.
He was a great guy, great sense of humor. We had a lot in common, especially coming out of the mainstream press, both of us. So,
a great job of covering that thing.
He sure did. At any rate, we're approaching the first break momentarily. But yeah, Jim had such an irreverence. He called them the Bilderberg Boys or the Bilderberg Punks. He had all sorts of neat little names for them. But we'll be right back after the break.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Kosher-tified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the CoSertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Well, welcome back to Stop the Presses. Your host, Mark Anderson, here on the 28th day of April, 2021. And let's get right to a caller, Al from West Virginia. I hope you're still with us.
Hello, Mark. Ron?
Hey, Al.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Okay, thanks.
Hey, I don't mean to ride you, Ron, but, or anybody else for that matter, but... We need to get away from these words that when you say persons, because a person, the government does have authority over 100% because they volunteered into this deal. But the safest way to say things like that is probably saying a woman or a man created by God or something like that, or even the people. When you say persons, if you look it up in law, you'll find out that that's a fiction. And that's what the law, so-called law nowadays, is called. Everything in law is a fiction. That's the only way they can have authority over you. When he was talking about getting out of vaccinations with the churches or what your religious religion is or whatever. That's the key right there. There's a lot of misnomers goes on in words. So you can't go in there and say misnomers. You have to know exactly what you're speaking about, or they won't know. They're not going to take the time to. They take advantage of you every single time, really.
Go ahead and respond, Ron. I know that using the word persons can just be a easy word to use and maybe not the most precise word, but Ron, go ahead and take that.
I'm not sure. I had a hard time understanding Al. I think it's Al. I think what he was saying is that the government does have authority over you to make you take a vaccine. and even to disregard any religious view you might have on it. That's what the law, the so-called law, is doing. But what I was trying to point out is that the law has no real fundamental basis to it. It's, in fact, the law itself shows that it has no idea of where the extent and limitation of authority that the government has. See, that's our whole problem in America today. Most people elected have no idea about what lawful government is. And I've run against these people. I know that these, I ran against two lawyers for a U.S. House seat in 2006. And neither one of those lawyers knew what the principles of property were. And they had no idea of the limitation of authority of government. You see, lawyers don't study that. They don't study fundamental law principles related to government. They didn't study Rousseau. They didn't study any of the greats, John Locke. They didn't study Frederick Bastiat. They don't study these writers that have been written on the philosophy of government for centuries. They don't study that in law. In law, they study about how to process the slaves. That's what modern law is, processing of slaves equitably, keeping all the slaves equal. Well, that's not what government is. Government is there's only one definition of government. It's very short. It is the protection of property of every individual, consisting of their life, liberty, and possessions. And one of the possessions you have is your life and your image in God. And so that law they're making up in Connecticut has no fundamental basis to it at all. It's absolute tyranny. And until the church gets a hold of that idea itself and knows that it has authority to resist this stuff, to defend Christianity and the very fundamental basis of Christianity against unlawful government tyranny, we've had it. I mean, there's no limitation to what ignorant people in office can do.
Yeah, and I think what Al meant was certain words suggest certain concepts, and the government grabs onto that. If they think you're just a person, that you're basically just a cog in the wheel. And Al was suggesting that beyond saying person, that we should say man, woman, something more meaningful. I've heard that statement and argument before. Some people say it's splitting hairs. Others say it's very important what words you use. And so the government considers you a person. Therefore, you're just another brick in the wall. Maybe it's just semantics, maybe more, but thanks for calling, Al. It's always important to raise those issues.
Hold on. Let me respond here a minute.
Well,
if you can.
So we got the bridge. We'll be right back. Don't you think that's the bridge?
Talk the simple smile, such platonic eye. How they drown in incomplete capacity. Strangers thought them all when the fear it calls. How we drown in stylistic audacity. Charge the common ground.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast two-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Welcome back to Stop the Presses, the second half today on the 28th of April, 2021. Al from West Virginia, I believe, is still out there. Al, I think you wanted to put a little capstone on your comment there. One more comment.
Yeah, what I'm trying to make a point is that you see, you're talking about lawful and legal, and the government is not lawful. The whole system has been turned around to legal. When they came out legal instead of lawful, you know, it was when the bankers took over because we owed them so much money. It'd be like you, really, this is the basic terms of it, is when if you owe a bunch of money on your house and you can't pay it, they're going to come and repossess it. So that's what basically our government sold us out, so-called government. And, you know, the bankers are pretty much, and that's when they brought in all the attorneys and started changing everything to legal. And that's why they have all these different definitions, different terms of a person or people or, so many of them. I mean, I couldn't name, I'm going to go take time up on the air talking about it. But anyhow, I studied law for 30 years, and I'm telling you, this is what happened. So start teaching people, excuse me, go ahead.
Let's let Ron address that. I do have another caller and some matters to cover. One last thing you said, if we start teaching people, what was that?
What I was going to say is if we start using the right terms, right, with the right language, then we can get other people to start, you know, learning what we're talking about here. Instead of saying persons, okay, say people. Or say, you know, a man or woman of God or whatever. And that's where the power is. They can't go against that. Once you go into court over that,
Ron wanted to address that, so I appreciate the call, Al. We do have another caller and some matters to cover, but there's plenty that can be wrung out of that. and expanded upon. Go ahead, Ron. You wanted to comment on that briefly?
Yeah, I just quickly wanted to say, obviously, it really doesn't matter whether we're people or corporations or whatever they want to call us. The whole idea behind this, it's unlawful. And that's why I use the term unlawful. You can have unlawful laws and unlawful government. It's really tyranny. And this is what I'm trying to get people to recognize, is don't think they have real power and authority when they don't. Now, they can throw you in jail.
They do, Ron.
I'm not saying they can't put you in jail.
But they do, Ron, because you're contracting with them. You signed up a contract with them.
Well, here's what I'm saying. There's no way out. There's no way of protesting or coming against these people by playing their game. If you play their game, you're still going to lose. What you need to know is the real game, the reality of this, the real principle. It doesn't matter if you learn how tyrants are structuring it, because the idea is not how to live wonderfully and beautifully under tyranny, because first of all, that's impossible. You're not going to let you live a wonderful life because you've figured out how tyranny works. That's not how it's done. So I'm trying to educate people. Let's get to the truth.
Unless we get the majority. If we get the majority and start teaching them the right, what's really right and what's wrong, and what the truth is and what's a fiction.
That's exactly what we're doing. But what we're not going to do is show the majority of how to live beautifully under tyranny. See, because that's not going to work either. What we have to get rid of is tyranny. So that's what we're trying to do. Get away from bad principles and to the good, real principles.
Okay, thanks
right,
for calling.
But that's part of it.
Good food for thought.
That's part
I appreciate
of it, though. But anyhow, I'll let you go. I know you got another callers, and I love you both. But don't get me wrong. I love you both.
Thanks, Alan.
For what you can do.
So those are important points, and I've often run into those. And it's important to consider all the angles because it is a real matrix we're living in. I believe we have another West Virginia caller. I hope he hung on. Kevin?
Hi, sir. I hope you guys are having a great and wonderful day. I have it may be a basic question, but it's something that I'm having problems understanding what it is. And the problem that I'm having to understand what it is what is COVID-19? Because on one side of the mouth, I hear Francis Boyle coming out and saying this is a biological weapon. And then you look at the CDC, and the CDC says, well, we've never isolated it. We've never sequenced it. And how can you vaccinate for something that you've never sequenced or isolated? So my question is, what really is COVID-19?
Boy, that's a good question. You know, the actual nature and identity of COVID-19 has been one of the biggest mysteries. Yeah, if it's a biological weapon, then it would have a patent. It would have a specific design, right? And yet, if it's
exactly.
not ever been isolated, then what is this thing? Will the real COVID-19 please stand up, you know? And so that is why I guess what I've always come away with is that since they can't definitively say what it is, it just has to be rejected in its entirety, because you know they're really yanking your chain. They're really pulling on you when they give you contradictory ideas and they give you a completely mysterious etymology and origin of this thing. You know, and it becomes a rabbit hole when you try and figure out what it is. And although it might sound like I'm cutting corners, what I basically have come to conclude is we just need to reject this lie in its entirety, whatever its origins may be, because it's very difficult to say definitively what those origins are. It's a real paradox and mystery in that sense. Ron, do you have a quick comment on that?
Yeah. Also, just recently, I think there's three medical groups that have come out and stated for sure that the PCR tests are ineffective and cannot mm-hmm. and do not find and cannot find this COVID-19, that they are ineffective and do not work. So we have no idea what it is or how many cases of it there have ever been, or in fact, even some pathologists say they don't believe there's been any deaths from it either. So that's how bizarre this thing really is.
It almost sounds like it's a fear campaign. Man, fear is a great motivator. I was listening to the last caller, Mr. Allen, West Virginia, talking about the legal terms and everything like that. But what I feel like these people have done, they've injected fear into this, and everybody is fearful to stand up for what is right. I have to ask, where are the real men in this country? How much longer are you guys going to sit behind of a microphone and let this, and I'm not being belittling you guys at all, and I'm saying this to me too. How much more are we going to take? Because this is insanity.
That's why Ron and I'm glad you brought it up, Kevin. That's why Ron and I are calling sort of our current crusade of principles and protests. Ron and I have both been out with our placards. We've both been causing a bit of a stir in our communities with some signage, calling attention to this scam, this apparent hoax, this vast misinformation, disinformation propaganda campaign by the mass media cartel to talk everybody and their mother, grandson, and granddaughter to taking a completely experimental potion or, whatever it is, witch's brew, that isn't really a traditional vaccine by all accounts. And like you're saying, it's a completely mysterious pathogen, if it even is a pathogen in the general sense. And then we're applying against that a completely new kind of mRNA so-called vaccine. And I think that one thing that comes to mind for me, and I know this doesn't totally answer your questions or concerns, but I think that the complexity of it and the contradictions inherent in the whole COVIDocracy, in the whole scare campaign, the things that don't make sense, in a sense, I think that is supposed to be that way. I think it's deliberate. I think they put contradictory, nonsensical, mysterious, bizarre ideas and concepts out there, things that don't make sense, precisely to create mental anguish and confusion and cognitive dissonance. I can't think of any other reason that you would have things that make no sense, like you're outlining, Kevin, and putting it out there where 2 + 2 no longer equals 4. And either the people doing this are completely mixed up and scattered in their thinking, or this is deliberate, where they tell you that the sky is no longer blue, 2 + 2 is no longer 4, and reality is no longer what we thought it is, and that this is a deliberate stirring of our brains to create total mental as well as societal chaos. That's my opinion. I know I'm kind of reaching with that, but I don't know what you think, Ron, but sometimes if something looks crazy, it was meant to be that way.
Yeah, I agree, but I also think even some of our callers yesterday on my show verified what I think. When people don't know the law, when you do not know the very most basic principles of what lawful government is, and you don't know what Article 1, Section 2 of the Texas Constitution really means, if you are ignorant, it makes you weak. You cannot go up against even tyranny. You can't go up against something, even though you know it's wrong. You simply don't have the guts or the foundation to stand on it. So what we're trying to do is get principle out here. If people knew the principle, they would not put up with this, and it would be the end of it. But if you don't know the principle, if you don't know what really Article 1, Section 2 really means and where all authority of government comes from, then you have had it. And they know this. These tyrants know this. And they are taking advantage of the people because they don't know it. And they will do anything. There's no limit to what they'll do to ignorant people.
Any final comments, Kevin?
I am 36 years old. I'm pretty young. I went to school over at a little place called Hedgesville High School here in West Virginia. Do you know all the way through my high school, back in, I was 99 to 2002, do you know they never taught an American government class or even a civics class in my high school?
Properly.
I'm not surprised. And we'll have to leave it with that. We have a Georgia Guidestones item we want to bring forth. But that's a good okay. That's a good thing to leave us on. That speaks a lot in and of itself, Kevin, and I thank you for your informative and thought-provoking call. Yes, I think we're seeing deliberate brain stirring with COVID, telling us things that don't add up on purpose. I know it's a guess, it's speculation in a sense, but there aren't really that many possibilities for why things are the way they are with COVID. And it is tragic when Ron speaks of these important principles that give us a leg to stand on if we're protesting and the police approach us. Kind of like when you get pulled over by a police officer, you kind of have to know the law and what your immunities and what your rights are. When they don't even teach civics in high school, let alone U.S. government or political science more precisely. And Ron and I have talked about that too, Kevin, and all those, all others who are listening. It's not like government principles are just someone's opinion versus, oh, medical science or something like that. Political science is a genuine topic. There really is such a thing as political science. And different people over the decades, over the centuries, have learned through hardship, especially through hardship, what works and what doesn't in human relations. And therefore, what has developed and what came kind of to a high watermark during the American Revolution was the idea that the science of politics, political science, and James Madison and Jefferson and company were really, really well tuned to that stuff. And they knew if you enact this kind of policy or you have this kind of foundation, you get X result. So there really is such a thing as political science, but they don't want us thinking about that even at high school age, because political science, if it were, if it was something that the greater population knew about well, with sound principles, and as Ron said, then the people would be largely undefeatable. We would be impregnable, and we would stand our ground without any problem, because we could say, we see your medical science, it makes no sense. Our political science, it has long-term eternal principles, and your medical science is nothing more than spitwads against the side of a battleship versus our political science. But all of that has been erased along with our Christian foundations in terms of my view of Western civilization and what's important about it. So thanks for the call again, Kevin. I want to get right to something here while we still have time. The globalists have, in their own twisted way, they have their principles, they have their commandments, they have their charter, their constitution. And I'm going to show a little something for those that watch the video simulcast of this show at livestream.com/Ron Avery and click the Stop the Presses icon, and you can watch it in real time or see the archive video later. And I'm going to go to the Georgia Guidestones, and what we see here, first we'll go to some pictures of them, and the Georgia Guidestones represent something that was established in 1980, a large multi-ton granite monument in Elbert County, Georgia, bordering South Carolina, maybe 100, 150 miles north-northeast of Atlanta. And it says here, the top part of the English part of it, there's 8 languages on these roughly 16-foot-tall, massive, heavy granite slabs. And of the 8 languages, one, of course, is English. And I'm showing this on the screen, and I'm reading it for the audio-only radio listeners. The very first one, and I'll enlarge it, maintain humanity under 500 million in perpetual, note the word, in perpetual balance with nature. Now, last I knew, there was 7 billion plus people on the planet. So that would mean somehow, some way, getting rid of 6.5 billion people, approximately.
Insane, Mark. I mean, I have never seen an occupancy rating on the Earth. This is not an elevator. Earth is not an elevator. There's no human being knows how many people the Earth can sustain. That's all there is to it. This is an absolute attack on humanity from an ignorant imbecile.
Yes. Ignorant, but very diabolical. What's called a, there's a name for it. Oh, it's slipping away. Gosh darn it. It's the definition of a evil person who has certain cunning intelligence. There's a name for it. But at any rate, maybe that term will hit me in a minute. But here's some of the other things it says. Guide reproduction wisely, improving fitness and diversity, which is obviously a nod to eugenics. Unite humanity with a living new language. Now, I was on another show earlier today, and the host, Kriston Harris of the Rundown Live, suggested that might be something to do with the digital age, digital language, transhumanism, that kind of thing. And rule, passion, faith, and tradition, and all things. Now, I'm going to go to another frame that shows more of the Guidestones language. I'm going to go down here. Here's the entire English part of it. I'm showing this on the screen. I'm going back to the top. That last one I just started reading is actually rule, passion, faith, tradition, and all things with tempered reason. Now, in revolutionary France, around the time of the French Revolution, there was an anti-Catholic purge where tens of thousands of Catholics and other Christians were killed. And the revolutionaries, the Jacobins, who were thought to be basically the Illuminati, or at least allies of the Illuminati, were actually killing Christians, and they called it the Age of Reason. A very similar thing there, Rod.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
I was just calling attention to the third or fourth item down, that where it says rule, passion, faith, and tradition, and all things with tempered reason. That reminds me of the French Revolution, when Christians were deliberately killed by Jacobin Illuminati revolutionaries who specifically killed Catholics and other Christians and said that their age of reason would overcome the world of faith. And so that's a very similar thing on this English part of the Georgia Guidestones that I'm reading from there.
Well, even that is contradictory, because real reason springs forth from Christianity. The greatest people that had shown reason in the world, a lot of people like St. Paul and like John Locke, these people also were very familiar with Scripture and were rooted in Christian theology, and they were the actual bright stars of reason. So the guy that puts down a tradition and faith in the under reason is, once again, shows he's an idiot.
It's a kind of a pseudo reason, a misdefined or misapplied concept of reason. Now, there are other things on this English slab that certain people among us might, think is okay. Here it says, avoid petty laws and useless officials. It says, balance personal rights with social duties. Now, that one is, in a way, yes, we should balance personal rights with social duties, but what do you mean by social duties? And just when you say balance, just how many personal rights do I have to put on the scale to balance with social duties? Do I have to sacrifice a lot of those personal rights for these ill-defined or undefined social duties? It would appear so. And that would appear to play into the COVIDocracy thing. Give up your personal rights, give up your religious exemptions, and take the jab. But note the last one, after it gives us a little mind candy, prize, truth, beauty, and love, and seek harmony with the infinite. Okay, that sounds almost kind of nice, right? But notice the last one, be not a cancer on the earth, leave room for nature, and that it repeats it, leave room for nature. Now that one, you could drive a tank through that one if you're a tyrant. And be not a cancer on the earth is another way of saying, and this is my interpretation, but I think it's an accurate one, that humanity might see itself someday or might want to consider itself to be a cancer, and that would therefore justify the very first one, again, maintain humanity under 500 million in perpetual balance with nature. And let's look at that again. sometimes you have to read these things several times, maintain humanity under 500 million. You notice it doesn't say at 500 million. The number one is under 500 million. The number 1,000 is under 500 million. And then it uses the word in perpetual. So what I'm reading is as few as people as possible, there are cancer on the earth in perpetuity. That's what I'm reading.
Well, I think you're right. It also shows again that whoever wrote this is absolutely ignorant of how God made the world and made us the superior one in it. And now they're trying to make it like that we don't belong here, that we are somehow dangerous to the planet that we've actually been put in charge of. But we're superior to anything on it, and we're to take care of it, even under God's plan. We're the stewards of it. We're the ones that take care of it. But what they're not showing is the tyrants. The Christians are not responsible for ruining the earth. Tyrants are responsible for ruining the earth with unlawful wars, and we're up to our eyeballs in it.
Yeah, and we only got a couple minutes left. I'm going to have to decline the last call. I want to make certain points. That's why I would encourage the caller to call Ron's show tomorrow, The Search for a Lawful Government, or my show Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Both shows run from 2 to 3 Central. This is an article about the Georgia Guidestones, and this is one of many tourist articles that tries to paint the Guidestones as the American Stonehenge. But let's take a quick look at Stonehenge. There's nothing inscribed on these Stonehenge stones over in England. There's no words. There's no philosophy. They're kind of haphazardly just standing there like somebody was playing with Lego or something, maybe a couple hundred or a couple thousand years ago. A lot of people say Stonehenge has some unbelievable, even hoax-based art to it. But to say the Georgia Guidestones are another Stonehenge makes no sense at all. What's different is the Georgia Guidestones are an advanced statement of intent. Unlike the Robert E. Lee statues that have been torn down in the riots or many other memorial statues, they're not a memorial. They're a future statement of intent, and someday they need to come down. That needs to be the raison d'etre of the alternative media to discredit them and someday legally bring them down. But that's all the time we have today, Ron. Thanks for helping me out. And everybody have a great day, and we'll see you on Ron's show tomorrow and my show Friday. Have a good one.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.